Well, could I ask you to turn in God's Word to Ruth chapter 2, please? Ruth chapter 2. And could I just say it is a joy to be back again in the pulpit. And what I experienced afresh again in those past 3 weeks is what a privilege and a joy it is to sit underneath the preached Word of God. Oh, it's great to hear the Word preached. And I trust that the Lord will give help even in the preaching of His Word. And what a wonderful hymn we have just sang, and praise offered unto our God. I haven't sang that before, but tremendous words, and let it be even the prayer of our hearts. So Ruth chapter 2, and we will read from verse 15 again, and we will read down to the end of this chapter. So Ruth chapter 2 and the verse 15, let us hear the Word of our God. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and is about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, "Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." And Ruth the Moabitess said, "He said also unto me, or unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, and thou go out with his maidens, and they meet thee not in any other field." So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the public reading of his Word. And let us take a moment, please, and still ourselves in the Lord's presence, even just as we come now to hear the Word of God preached. Let's commit our way to the Lord. Loving God and gracious Father, we lift up our hearts to Thee in praise and thanksgiving. Lord, for the opportunity again to come and gather around Thy Word and Thy truth. Thank Thee, Lord, for this great privilege, responsibility that has been given unto me. And even, Lord, we can say, like the words of Amos, that I was not a prophet, neither the son of the prophet, but I was a herd man. And Lord, Thou hast taken me from following after the flock, after the herd, and said unto me, go and preach. And Lord, Thou art the one that has called. Thou art the one who has commissioned. And Thou art the one who will endue and enable me with what I need. Lord, it's not natural ability that I need, but I need the infilling of God the Holy Spirit. And I claim that blessed promise that Thou will give the Spirit unto them that ask. So Lord, in my Savior's name, I ask that Thou would wash me in the precious blood and fill me full of the Holy Ghost. May the one who is the blessed Comforter come alongside with strength, with power, with grace, O God, we beseech of Thee. Speak to every waiting heart. Crown the meeting with Thy presence. Speak through Thy Word, O God, we ask. And Lord, conform us into the image of Thy Son. Remember those amongst us not yet saved, out of Christ without a Savior. Remember those who this morning are maybe in another field. We pray, O God, that Thou would speak to their hearts and draw them unto the Savior. Draw them afresh to Jesus Christ, we asked of Thee. And Lord, now in answer to prayer, give glory to Thy Son. For I pray these things in the Savior's precious and His wonderful name. Amen. Now this morning we return again to our study on the book of Ruth. And as it has been a while since we last considered this chapter, let me remind you of what we were thinking about those 5 weeks ago. Having finished her meal that she received at the hand of Boaz, Ruth rose up once again to glean in his field. And it was then that Boaz, he called aside his young men and told them to leave handfuls of purpose for her. We thought about the tokens received and how they must have encouraged Ruth to press on in her labor and her gleaning. And we compared that with the tokens for good that the Lord often leaves for us as we labor for Him. Those little encouragements which are at times dropped from the hand of our God through and by His servants. We also thought about the task recommenced, how Ruth, with due diligence, she worked in the field until even. From dawn to dusk she toiled, wasting no time in idleness, but busy with industriousness. And what an example she set for us to redeem the time, to be up and about the Master's business. And as I read this morning, and I trust young people, you read in the devotional that you received, McShane, he had on his watch a picture of a setting sun with the words inscribed over it, "The night cometh," reminding him that we have but one short day in which to serve the Lord. Now in the last place, we thought about the threshing rewarded. Her handfuls, they had turned into a heap full of grain, gleaning in one day the equivalent of 10 days' work. God was making up through her to Naomi those 10 wasted years in Moab. They're taking care to gather the wheat, separating it from the chaff by threshing it. Ruth truly had a day that was in the field that was beneficial to her. It wasn't convenience food that we are so used to. But no, she took time to thresh it out. She took time to gather up what she had gleaned from the field. And so for us, it's not simply a matter of just reading the word, but we need to thresh it out in our meditation through the day so that it becomes beneficial unto our souls. We finished the last time thinking of the things that were beaten in Scripture. And of course, that brought us to think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, the heavenly grain of wheat who was threshed out in Gethsemane and Gabbatha and on Golgotha so that hungry souls could feed themselves on the one who is the bread of life. Now, while Ruth was having her encouraging and significant gleaning experiences in Boaz's field, Naomi, I'm sure, was at home anxiously wondering about how she was getting on. We must remember there was no mobile phones in those days. She couldn't send a quick text message to her mother-in-law saying, "Well, everything's going great." So as the day passed, hour after hour, no doubt Naomi's concern increased for Ruth. She had been waiting impatiently for her to return home to report on how the gleaning went. Now Ruth, as we read, she gathered up an ephah of barley that she had threshed out. And she would have put it in a sack, or more than likely, she would have bound it up in that cloth, large cloth scarf that would have been part of her clothing. And we read at the beginning of verse 18, "And she took it up and went into the city." She took it to the place where it was needed. Not only did she bring what she had reaped, but she also brought back with her a report of what she encountered that day in the field. And it would have been a delight to give. She was truly coming rejoicing, bringing her sheaves with her. She had been a diligent gleaner. She had much to show for her labor. She had been highly favored and had been promised a place to glean for the rest of the harvest season. So not only would it have been a delight to give this report, but it would have been a delight to receive this report. So this morning we're going to consider these last verses, verses 18 to 23, under the heading, Ruth's Report. Ruth's Report. And the first thing I want to draw to your attention this morning is the recognition by Naomi. The recognition by Naomi. Naomi, waiting and watching for Ruth's return, she suddenly spots a familiar figure silhouetted by the setting eastern sun carrying a burden upon her back. At a distance, she could even see that Ruth had not been idle during the day, but had gleaned very diligently. She saw from the magnitude of the load and from the beaming, bright countenance of her daughter-in-law that the day had been crowned with peculiar blessings. Now, before any dialogue was recorded, we find that Ruth gives to Naomi the food from Boaz's table. Look at the end of verse 18. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And we already thought of that. How she gave what she herself had received unto another. Now, without a word spoken, the evidence of an ephah of barley was testament to the fact that truly the Lord had been with Ruth. He had been superintending over her as she went to the field to glean, and that she had been met with some special favor on that day. Ruth had with her the evidence, the marks of God's blessing upon her. This reminds me of another in the Bible who had the Lord with him and in whom people saw that the blessing of the Lord was upon. Remember in the life of Joseph, we've read over and over again that little phrase, and the Lord was with him. Taking Genesis 39 verse 3 as an example, and his, that's Joseph's master, saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph's life was full of the evidence of the blessing of God, and so was Ruth's. Now let me remind you that the physical blessings in the old dispensation of the covenant of grace in the Old Testament, like bountiful harvests or riches, they were but a type of the greater, nobler, and eternal spiritual blessings that belong to God's people in the New Testament period. Those graces like joy and peace and love and meekness and forgiveness and fullness, those things which are without money and without price. Those are the evidences. Those are the tokens of God's blessing upon His people. And so the challenge to you and me this morning through the life of Ruth as she returns home from the field, do others see the evidence of God's blessing in you and me? Are the marks there? Do they take note that the Lord is with us? It's good for us to speak about Christ, but it's also good for us to show forth Christ and His blessings. Last Thursday night, there was a man amongst us, and he was giving out invitations for the Sunday school and the children's meeting. As he went to one house, a lady came down from upstairs who had been watching him from her window and said unto him, she says, "I just knew you were a Christian by the way you were walking." Paul said about the lives of believers in 2 Corinthians 2 and 3, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Our lives are read and judgment is made. Now, whether we like that or not, that's the truth. Men and women, they can't see the heart, that's true, but they do see the outward. And more often than not, that the outward is a revelation of what is in the heart. Many folks say they are Christian, but their grain bag of conduct and character and clothing is empty of the grain of virtuous living. You look in vain to see the evidence of faith in many who talk of it. And we need, we long for, we must have a Christianity that even from a distance will manifest the evidence of a realness of a faith in Jesus Christ and that His blessing is upon us. That's the challenge to us all. As individuals, look at us as we go about our daily lives. Now, Naomi, she did not see Ruth's gleaning or threshing, but she did see the evidence. She saw the evidence. And an individual who has spent time gleaning and threshing in the Word, unseen, yes, by many, will manifest the evidence to others. And others will take knowledge that that individual has been with Jesus. Christ could not be hid. Is what we read in the New Testament. And the individual who gleans and threshes in the Word, spends times with the Lord, Christ will not be hid in their life. The evidence will be there, just as Ruth had upon her back the evidence of God's blessing upon her and that the Lord was with her in the field. Now the evidence that Naomi took recognition of led her to make an inquiry. Look at verse 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? That's just two ways of asking the same question. It was a request about the place, which was, of course, chiefly an inquiry about the owner of the place. Naomi could easily see that the amount of grain and the extra food from the meal indicated that someone had taken special notice of Ruth. That's why she doesn't even wait for a reply. But she bursts out with this benediction, Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Now applying, Where hast thou gleaned today? To each of our own lives. That's a good question for us to ask ourselves each night. Where have I gleaned today? Where did I seek to glean food for my soul? What improvement have I made in grace and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You know, too often Christians, they glean from the papers, the television, the radio, the internet, and they're stuffed with the junk food of this world with only a little room left for a nibble of God's Word. How true that is, isn't it, if we're being honest? And we could all, I would say, do well to have a better spiritual diet. Today, this day, the Lord's day, it's maybe an easy day for us to give an answer, Where hast thou gleaned today? You know, today you could say, well, I've sat under the Word and I've gleaned under the Word that's been preached, but what about the other days of the week? Underscore that word in your Bible, those words in your Bible gleaned today. It doesn't say, where did you glean this week? Where did you glean in days past, but today? Do you get something daily from God's Word to feed your soul, to share with others? If you and I were met by Christ through the week and asked of Him, as He asked His disciples there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, children, have you any meat? Have you any food? I wonder, would we be able to say, yes, yes, Lord, I've gleaned from Your Word today, and here's what I've gleaned. Do we esteem the words of His mouth more than our necessary food? The blessed statement here made by Naomi when she says, Blessed be he, as she goes on, it shows that a change is beginning to come over. You see, when she came back to Bethlehem, she was not a very cheerful person. There was no blessed in her talk, and I thought about that. God's people have lost the blessedness in their talk. They've lost their hallelujah. They've lost their amen. They've lost their praise the Lord in the services. Just like Naomi. Rather, she was so downhearted that she told the people, you know, call me Mara, which means bitterness. But now she's beginning to change from bitterness to blessedness. And so she blesses an unknown individual for his kindness shown towards Ruth. See, Naomi here, she recognized it was because some man had taken knowledge of Ruth that she had returned home with such a bountiful blessing. And children of God, it's only because the Lord has taken knowledge of us that we are blessed so abundantly. And this we must recognize. Ruth was hardworking, and we have seen that, but it was by the grace of another that she was and had what she had, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. Is that recognition there in your heart this morning? Does that recognition flow forth in benediction and praise unto God? The recognition by Naomi. Secondly, we notice the realization of Naomi. The realization of Naomi. Now Ruth speaks, and she brings her report, answering not where, but who. Verse 19. And tells us there, and she showed her mother, middle of the verse, and she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." Now, in response to Naomi's question, Ruth revealed that she had been gleaning in the field owned by Boaz. The word "show," the Hebrew word, it means to bring to light, to make known. And this indicates that Ruth probably, and more than likely, told Naomi much more about Boaz than just his name. She would tell of the man's character, his favors and his kindnesses, the provision of water and food, the protection from the young men, and the prominence of position from which she was allowed to glean. Ruth did not hesitate to speak openly about Boaz. She had nothing to hide about the man. She was not like some who do not want to tell their parents maybe much about the boy or girl that they are dating, or the people that they are keeping company with, for they know that there's something questionable about their character. But Ruth did not have that problem, for Boaz was a real gentleman. Boaz was a godly man, a man of God, and Ruth had been in good company, and she was not afraid or ashamed to tell Naomi about Boaz, who was so kind to her and was so courteous towards her. I wonder, young person, maybe you're dating someone, maybe you're keeping company with someone, and you come in at night and your parent asks you, "Well, who are you out with tonight? Tell me a little about them." Are you vague in your response? Are you able to open up? You're able to say, "This is what manner of person they were. Oh, they're good company. They love the Lord. They are Christ's." I trust you have nothing to hide with the company you keep. Now, with the identity of the man who took knowledge of Ruth revealed, Naomi begins to see and understand the unfolding of God's sovereign plan. And this realization draws from Naomi an excited response of joy, which is once again expressed by a benediction. Verse 20, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Blessed be he of the Lord. Now that's an improvement and an advancement of the earlier "blessed be he." Or here she adds, "of the Lord." She praises Boaz, yes, but ultimately the Lord, who has blessed them through Boaz. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," is what we sing. And no matter what channel those blessings come to us through, they are always, and those blessings, they always come from the same source, our covenant keeping God. Blessed be he of the Lord. And here Naomi, she's giving glory unto God. Before she had a grievance with God. And now she's changing. She's being worked upon by God's blessing upon their lives. And she's coming here now to glorify God. But not only that, she expresses her gratitude for goodness by saying, "Who hath not left off his kindness to the living and the dead." Now, whose kindness is she praising here? Boaz's or the Lord's? Some would say this is speaking of Boaz's kindness, but surely she's praising the Lord's kindness. Boaz had just begun to show kindness to the dead. It was God who was to Naomi, or who to Naomi seemed to have left off or forsaken, as the words can be translated, his kindness towards her. But he hadn't. He hadn't. He hadn't left it all. Through all their wanderings, because it was the Lord who had brought the famine to the end by visiting his people with bread. It was the Lord who bound Ruth to Naomi in love. It was the Lord who had preserved Boaz through those years of famine. It was the Lord who had directed Ruth to Ruth to Boaz's field. The Lord, he had not left off his kindness. That's a wonderful expression of the faithfulness of God to us, his people. He have not left off his kindness. You know, when the storm rages about you, and the fire of the furnace of trial is burning hot. You know, we may be tempted to think as Asaph thought in Psalm 77. You turn there. And he thought, yes, that the Lord had left off his kindness. But we read there of what he thought in verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? No, never, child of God. He hath not left off his kindness to you individually, nor to the church of Jesus Christ. He cannot forsake, he cannot forget his people. He cannot be disposed towards you, child of God, in any other way than in love and in mercy and in pity and compassion and kindness, because Christ, by his once for all sacrifice, has turned away from ever, forever from you and me the wrath of God. Forever. He even chastens his children out of loving kindness for their good. He hath not left off his kindness. Never think. We must never think that Jesus Christ, who loved the church and gave himself for the church, will ever abandon the church, or that he has left off his kindness towards us. Naomi, here she realized immediately the rewarding ramifications of Boaz being involved. And the clogs of her mind began to turn over, for she goes on to say, and you know, I can almost picture her and hear her excitement in my mind. She goes on to say, you know, the man is near of kin unto us. One of our next kinsmen. Ruth, do you understand this? This man is near to us. Words, one of our next kinsmen, they might also be translated one who has the right to redeem. This is one who has right to redeem. And this word indicated that Boaz, he was in a position by relationship to redeem the estate of Elimelech and to fill the duty of a kinsman redeemer by marrying Ruth. Boaz was capable of the Levirate marriage. The law of the Lord stated in Leviticus 25:49 that the kinsman, he needed to be nigh of kin. Near of kin. Related by family. And here we're coming to the heart of the message of the book, redemption by a redeemer. By a qualified redeemer. Boaz had the right to redeem Ruth. And Christ is the one who has the right to redeem his people. The word in the text is the Hebrew word goel, which means kinsman redeemer. It's a different word from the Hebrew word kinsman in verse 1. We've already thought about that. And that word there, it meant familiar friend. But this word, it means that kinsman redeemer, the one who has the right to redeem. The kinsman redeemer, he had to meet three particular requirements. Otherwise, he could not fulfill his obligation or responsibility to the law. He had to be associated with the one he was going to redeem, a relative. He had to have the ability to redeem, a man of wealth and power. He had to be agreeable or willing to redeem the person, property, and possessions. And all, therefore, that remained to be discerned from Boaz was this. Because he had, and he was associated, and he had the ability, the only thing that needed to be discerned was he willing? Was this man willing to redeem? Now we're going to see more of this theme of redemption in the person of our Redeemer as we progress in our study. But I want to leave you at least with one thing now about that in this point. Christ identified himself with sinners. These are truths you know, but it's good to be reminded, good to be refreshed, good to hear it once again. Christ identified himself with sinners by taking our human nature onto his divine nature. The one who saves men from their sin must also be a man. He must have the same nature as those he came to save. In Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5, and Hebrews 2, 14 and 16, they make it abundantly clear that Christ has the right to redeem sinners by virtue of the fact that he truly is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He who was of the same substance and equal with God, the Father in power and glory, condescended and was, as Paul said in Philippians 2, 7, made in the likeness of men. Christ has the right to redeem. He has the right to redeem you, sinner. He alone is qualified. Now the type, I say this and I say it again, it always breaks down at some point. There is no perfect type. There can't be, for then the type would actually be the thing or the person that it sets forth. And here is where we see the breakdown of the type. For we must note that Naomi said, he is one of. He is one of our next kinsmen. That means that there was another that Naomi was aware of. However, the other one, which we will learn later, was not willing. He was not willing to take Ruth as his wife, which left the situation open for Boaz. There's where the type breaks down, for there is no other Redeemer than the Lord Jesus Christ. As our catechism states, the only Redeemer of God's elect is the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the eternal Son of God, became man and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. He alone is qualified, willing and able to redeem, to restore by the payment of his precious blood, you dear sinner from eternal ruination, to buy back all that Adam lost in the fall, all the estate that was bequeathed unto Adam there at the beginning, as he was made in holiness and righteousness and true knowledge, and he lost it all in the fall. But Christ, by his precious blood, can buy you back, and him alone. Have you come to that realization? Can you sing from your depths of your heart, I am redeemed, oh praise the Lord. My soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I'll sing it o'er and o'er. I am redeemed. Oh praise the Lord. Redeemed forevermore. Amen. Good to hear it. Bought, purchased with a price. Given back all that was lost in the fall. And raised to indefectibility in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The recognition by Naomi, the realization of Naomi. Finally, briefly, the recommendation from Naomi. In verse 21, Ruth adds a postscript to her report. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. This added statement by Ruth about the requirement Boaz gave her to stay with the reapers until the end of the harvest, it may have indicated that Boaz may be thinking about romance and redemption too. And Naomi's picking up on this. The requirement of Boaz for Ruth indicated that his favor was not just for one day, but for the entire harvest season. So in verse 22, we have Naomi's recommendation. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." Naomi, the older, gives good advice to Ruth, the younger. She recommends that Ruth does exactly as Boaz required. Naomi, she sees the interest of Boaz in this added information by Ruth, and she's quick to tell Ruth to not let the opportunity pass her by without seizing it. You see, while Ruth was, and we must remember, Ruth was a babe in Christ. While Ruth was continually growing in grace and learning more and more, Naomi, she understood the role of the kinsman redeemer. And this here is an example of the older helping, instructing, and guiding the younger. And that burden of responsibility lies upon the older members of the congregation. Those who are established in the faith to get alongside the younger. And yes, I know that happens, we could say officially, in the role of maybe like a Sunday school teacher or children's meeting worker. But it doesn't have to be always in that official capacity. That responsibility, you who know the law of God, the Word of God, the requirements of God, that responsibility, yea, that privilege belongs to you to get alongside the young people, the children, to help them, to encourage them, to exhort them to follow the commands of their kinsman redeemer and not let that opportunity pass them by. It lies upon you and me. Well, what about you this morning? Where does the Lord find you? As I draw this message to a close, are you keeping the commands of your Redeemer? Are you obeying His will? Or do we find you this morning in another field? As we greet you, as we meet you, as we talk with you, are we meeting you in another field? The recommendation was to be not found in another field. I wonder, are you in the field of coldness or slackness or carelessness concerning the things of God? Are you in the field of some worldly pleasure? You know, the world is full of advisors that will tell us to go to another field other than Christ's. And there you'll find abundance. But there you'll only find barrenness and waste ground. The thorns of sin that will entangle and the thistles of iniquity that will sting. That's all you'll find in all our fields. Let's follow the recommendation and keep to the field of our Lord and Savior. We notice in the last verse how Ruth responded to Naomi's recommendation. So she kept fast. That's the same word as cleave. In chapter 1, so she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Ruth, she listened to Naomi's good advice and did as Boaz instructed. You know, this demonstrated her submission to Boaz. And both reflected wisdom and required work. When we read that she gleaned through both the barley and the wheat harvest, this meant that she gleaned over a period of several months. You see, the wheat harvest, it followed the barley harvest in Israel. The barley harvest occurred during March and April, and the wheat harvest, it went on into June and July. This showed her steadfastness and her faithfulness to the commands of Boaz. All the while, she remained committed and devoted to her mother-in-law. She kept the vows that she had made in chapter 1. Have you kept the vows you've made to the Lord? Maybe vowed to serve Him to the end. Are you keeping those vows? How are you going to respond to what you have heard today from your heavenly Boaz through the word that has been preached? I trust that it will be seen in your faithfulness and your steadfastness and your commitment and your devotion to Him. The recognition by Naomi. The realization of Naomi. The recommendation from Naomi. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. And may we obediently do His blessed will. Let's unite our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the word as it has been preached. Let's pray. Loving God and gracious Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for a conscious sense of Thy presence this morning. And I pray, O God, that the evidence, the marks of our God would be upon us. I pray, O Father, that we would manifest to others that we are Thine. And Lord, that Thou art superintending, O Lord, our pathway in life. I pray for Thy people. I pray, O God, that the blessed realization of who and what they have in Jesus Christ will rise from their hearts, that blessed benediction unto Thee. I pray, O God, that Thou would help us to follow the recommendation, Lord, of those who would preach the Word, who would encourage us and instruct us in the things of God. Help us, O God, to be obedient unto the commands of our heavenly Boaz. Let us always be found in His field. Help us always to glean in His word. And now, O Father, I pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit will be the portion of Thy people throughout this day and forevermore. Bring us back to Thy house this evening. O God, Lord, rejoicing for a place that we can come and hear the word preached in all its fullness. Fill Thy servant with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, may there be signs following the preaching of Thy word. Hear prayer, bring glory to Christ. For we pray and offer these our petitions in His blessed and His wonderful name. Amen.